Welcome to the Simple Sophisticate Podcast, where intelligent living is paired with signature style. I'm your host, Shannon Abels. And whether you're listening on your commute, exercising, working in the garden, or sitting down with a hot cup of tea or a cafe au lait, thank you for tuning in. Let's get started. Welcome to the 242nd episode of The Simple Sophisticate. On this first Monday of 2019, I have an episode for you that is going to really strengthen the foundation of everything else you want to chase, to accomplish, to experience, to enjoy in the new year and in every year going forward. And I'm excited to bring that to you. Before I get into this list, I have 31 things to talk about. So we have an episode to get to. Today's Petit Plaisir is a French film. And it's a film that I actually happened to come across over the past weekend, as some of you may have seen on my Instagram feed. And it played in beautifully to what today's episode is about. It's a wonderful film with some fantastic actors and actresses, American and French. And I think you'll really enjoy it, whether or not you speak French, like the French culture or not. There are subtitles and it's easy to follow whether you know the French language or not. And you get beautiful scenery. But I'm giving so much away, I'm going to wait to give away any more until the end of today's episode. But let's get in to episode 242. We're going to talk about true self-care. We're going to understand what it actually is. And here's a hint, it will be unique to each of us, and it is a skill that can exponentially improve the quality of your daily life. So here we go. If you Google self-care, more than 2 billion with a B posts, articles, books, and videos immediately pop up. For a variety of reasons, many valid, self-care is the topic of discussion in our world today. And the reality that stress levels in America have increased for the first time in 10 years, as was reported in a study out in 2017, there's evidence that perhaps we all could benefit from understanding the value of proper self-care. The topic of self-care is something that is indirectly discussed here on the podcast, A Simple Sophisticate, as well as the blog, since they were both founded. But today I wanted to dig down to understand what self-care is and the benefits of incorporating it regularly into our daily lives. The Oxford Dictionary defines self-care as, quote, to preserve or improve one's own health. And while often self-care is explained as being free and easy, the truth is real self-care is not initially easy. If we haven't incorporated it into our lives properly, eventually it will become habituated, but with any new skill we are choosing to bring into our lives, there is a period of struggle or frustration or doubt that it's worth it or that we should continue. Now, author Mary Beth Jansen describes in her 2017 book, The Book of Self-Care, quote, no amount of massages, hot baths, aromatherapy, healthy food, or exercise will sustain us over the span of our lives if not experienced from the layer of our being that is pure consciousness. Now, what does she mean by that? There is a deeper work that needs to be done for true self-care. And we can still incorporate these surface pleasure-finding practices of those baths, massages, aromatherapy, exercise, good food. We can still incorporate that into our self-care regimen. They are part of it, but they can't be the only part. They can't be reactionary practices. You had a bad day, you take a hot bath. Self-care. It's more than that. It's having a bath so that you have a good day. And I don't mean that because you have a bath, you'll have a great day, but it's a component of being preventative. And we'll talk about exactly that prevention. True self-care will enable each of us to obtain optimal well-being, thus the opportunity to practice the art of living well, this fundamental component of living simply luxuriously. Again, here's a quote from Mary Beth Jansen. Self-care is the ultimate healing mechanism for wholeness in mind, body, and soul. Preventative healthcare at its best. So how do we pay attention and practice optimal well-being? Well, today I'm going to share with you 31 ways to do just that. Now, this is a list to look at and see, hey, I'm already doing that. That's why I need to keep doing that. And maybe I can strengthen this area. Or it's another way of saying I don't do that. And maybe that's the component I want to focus on. So let's get into this list. They're very brief. I'll try to break them down a little bit more to explain if they're not self-explanatory. And if you go to the show notes, I've included links because a lot of these topics we have talked about in depth on previous episodes or on the blog. So if you're thinking, oh, I really want to dive into this particular subject, go to the show notes, thesimplyluxuriouslife.com/podcast242, and you'll be able to do that. So here we go. Number one. It starts with getting to know yourself. This is that consciousness, this pure consciousness that was spoken about earlier at the top of this episode with regards to what you need to pair with those pleasure activities. You need to know what you need. You need to know what makes you thrive. You need to know what drains you. We talk about this a lot, but it's imperative. And I have a detailed post on all of this. And I actually talk about it in both of my books with regards to understanding who you are, especially in my first book. Now, number two is practice self-compassion. Being a human, Jansen reminds that beyond the basic physiological needs, fundamental human needs are for attention, affection, appreciation, and acceptance. So in summation, we all need love. And that includes self-love. I've included a link to a detailed post on self-compassion, as well as if you have my second book or pick up my second book, I dive even deeper into that component and why that skill. Because it's a learned practice. Self-compassion is something we can either choose not to do or choose to do. It will strengthen our ability to take care of ourselves and therefore optimize our well-being. Number three. Refrain from letting emotions run your life. Our perceptions of the world, of those around us, and of ourselves even, are powerful. When we change our mind or our thoughts, our understanding of how things should or shouldn't work, there's that word that we've talked about in previous episodes, we truly can change our world. So if a perspective that you have right now is limiting. And it takes time. It takes a conscious choice to become aware that your perspective is limiting the quality of your life. Maybe it's going to take someone on the outside saying, hey, do you realize that when you speak this way or when you say those things, you're just missing all the other realities that are out there. But when you choose to realize that your thoughts, your understanding, your absolute beliefs are limiting, you can change your world. This is where optimism comes into play. This is where an open mind benefits us. This is where, and we'll talk about this in another point, constant learning is going to benefit us as well. But back to this emotions, a lot of the times our emotions stem from not understanding what's actually happening and someone telling us what's happening. And we trust that one individual, even though we don't choose to question it or be the critical thinker. And so, as we'll talk about later in this episode, but I've talked about it before, emotional intelligence, understanding what we're feeling, why we're feeling it, and letting ourselves feel it, but then moving and letting it move through us so we can move forward. Because if we're constantly reacting to our emotions, we are not in control. We need to recognize, I'm feeling angry. Why? What was it that upset you? And why did this time upset you so much? What else is going on? And there's going to be a different answer for each of us, but that is significantly important. So refrain from letting your emotions run your life. Number four, choose to understand the ego's role in your life. All of us have an ego. If you've taken psychology 101, we understand the id and the ego and the different roles they play. There are positive effects of having an ego. And Jansen explains, quote, when in higher states of consciousness, it ensures that our basic needs are being met so that we may fulfill our life's purpose, end quote. But on the negative side, it can act as a result of fear. And when we feel we are losing control, losing power, or when we need but aren't feeling as though we're having or being approved from the external world, we're not receiving that approval from the external world, our ego can get very nasty and be very destructive. And we need to understand the difference in those two instances. When is it okay to allow my ego to come forth, and when does it need to be reined in because it's actually acting out of fear? And that's, again, a recognition of knowing what we're feeling and why we're feeling it. So number four is choosing to understand the ego's role in our life. Number five is choosing to respond rather than react to daily events that are unexpected and or unwanted. Now, we talked about this, I think, over a year ago. We talked about the difference between responding and reacting. And ultimately, responding is taking a breath, getting our composure, and not just immediately reacting and doing something perhaps rash or not running it through our heads one time to say, do I really want to have that on the record? Do I really want people to know that's what I'm thinking? Because maybe I won't be thinking that. Give myself a day. Give myself an hour. And I could do it in a way that I would feel more proud of or confident of, and have dealt with the situation better. So I'll provide a link to that episode where we talk about the difference between responding and reacting and how to take that pause, take that breath so that we respond constructively. Number six is to practice being present each moment. In other words, improve our mindfulness. Now, a lot of what Mary Beth talks about in her book is mindfulness and how to be present. She dives deep into that, and I'll provide a link to her book on the show notes. But ultimately, it's about choosing to be present, to be right there, to notice what's going on, to appreciate it, to savor it, to not be hoping that it lasts forever and asking for more or wanting it to go by faster so you can get to tomorrow. Because how we spend our days, as we've said many times, is how we spend our lives. But we can enrich our everydays by being present and being mindful. And this is where that everyday elevation can happen. So that's number six. Number seven, cultivate daily, weekly, monthly, seasonal, and annual rituals. These can be so simple. And this, again, a significant part of two chapters in my new book, Living the Simply Luxurious Life, shares how and examples of creating these rituals daily, weekly, and so on. And they will be tailored to you. But it's what makes the everyday awesome. I cannot tell you, these last 2 weeks that I've been on holiday, I go back to school or work today, have been wonderful. The last week and a half, I have been just at my home, my little cottage here in Bend, Oregon. And, you know, we wake up in the morning. I say we, I'm talking about my dogs and myself. We wake up, we have our breakfast routine. You know, we have our walk. Then we sit and we check our emails. We have our tea. And then in the evening, I have different rituals that I look forward to. And then the weekend, just today, as I'm taping this, it's Sunday, we went on this awesome walk this morning because snow came to Bend after over a week of no snow, and it's still falling 6 hours later, and we had to go out and walk in that. And then afterwards, we put our croissant in the oven to warm up, made a teapot of tea, and sat down with the Sunday newspapers. These are things I enjoy. You're going to have your own rituals, but find them, cultivate them. And in those moments, you are being mindful because you're savoring that ritual. It's helping you to be present. And it doesn't have to cost money at all. It may just be how you reorganize your day. So those are just some examples. Again, my second book dives deeply into that. Number eight is spend time in nature. Well, again, I just talked about some examples, an example of going out in nature. And not all of us have what I know I'm very fortunate to have. But even if it's bringing nature in a virtual way, if you're unable to actually go outside and be outside a cement or concrete jungle, having plants in your house, having flowers in your home, the paintings or the visuals you have in your office, in your bedroom, in your life, those things make a difference. It it also helps to make you more mindful and present because you're there in that moment. And this is where the passing of the seasons are a great way to help you stay present and appreciate as the year progresses, different things that happen, not every day. And so therefore we slow down and we appreciate them. That's number 8. Number 9 is simply create. I love this one. Just create. What do I mean by this? In the kitchen, in the studio, on the dance floor, on the computer, in your home, in the museum, outside with your family, with your friends, create. And you don't have to show it to anybody, or you can show it to everybody. Do something that just, it may not make sense as to why you're creating it, but you're putting your ideas down out there, pulling them out of yourself and seeing what's going to happen. I mean, the simplest way to create, at least for me, is to cook. Sometimes meals turn out, sometimes they don't, but it's the practice and the art of trying things, doing different things. And when it does, oh my gosh, what a thing to celebrate. So bring in creative endeavors into your life, whether your hobby or with your work, bring that in. And that again, enables you to be present, but also is a way of nurturing and rejuvenating what you uniquely can bring to the world. Number 10, celebrate seemingly ordinary events that truly are extraordinary upon closer inspection. I just mentioned a little while ago, the changing of the seasons. Celebrate them. What do you love about spring when it arrives? How are you going to celebrate that? When fall arrives, do you have that favorite walk in the leaves that you like to take that only happens or lasts for about a week or two before the leaves completely fall off? What is it about the snow that you long to enjoy in the depths of hot summers? And those are just the things with the seasons, but what about those mini and major life milestones? We just went through the start of a new year, but everyone has their own new years. Maybe it was the day that you got the job that you're currently in, or maybe it was the day that you arrived in the city you now live in, or maybe it was the day that you said, I do. Or maybe it was the day you said no more and you set yourself free. Depending on each of our situations, our life moments are worth celebrating. And some people may share what those moments are going to be with others. And some people may keep it to themselves. But that's a way, again, of celebrating throughout everyday life. That's number 10. Number 11 is to practice compassion. This I found very interesting. There was a study by the National Institutes of Health in 2015, and it revealed, quote, brain imaging shows how the practice of compassion stimulates the same pleasure centers associated with the desire for food, water, and sex. Just think about that for a moment. That compassion does not extend only outside of you. That compassion includes you. So self-compassion falls in place here. But compassion for other people, being human, seeing others as human, even when we and they make mistakes. Practice compassion. It'll help us sleep better at night. Number 12, understand the detrimental power of stress and change what is creating the distress. So we know that some stress is good when it's not everyday, constant, that kind of stress where our adrenaline surges and we're able to complete that, whether it's a project or a race or something that is temporary. And we have to remember that, and Jansen points this out, stress is triggered by the body's instinct to defend itself, the fight or flight response. But if we leave this feeling unchecked and allow it to become a regular state, then it becomes distress. And that distress accumulates. And then a long stretching list of chronic and acute diseases can follow. So we need to eliminate the distress because in fact, that will be preventative healthcare and thus it is self-care. So remembering back to number 5, let me just remind us what number 5 was. 5 is choosing to respond rather than react. Practice responding rather than reacting. Because when we react, the potential for our stress to rise increases. So examine, maybe you've had some time to be off, maybe you didn't, But whenever you get an opportunity to take time to assess what causes you stress and it continues to happen, it's not just a one-time thing, examine how you can shift or change so that doesn't keep happening, because it is not something that's positive for your health. That is self-care. And it does involve at times saying no. So that's number 12. Number 13 is schedule regular time to rejuvenate. Everyone's rejuvenation practice will be unique to them. This is where that bath can take place. This is where those massages can take place. This is where that day or afternoon or hour to yourself becomes absolutely necessary and not a luxury. Each of our lives will be unique to us. I was speaking to a teacher during a book signing back in November. And she has family and she's married. And she said, I never thought that I could say, I need an hour upon arriving home from work and just taking that for myself, because that's really what I need. And then I'm good. Then I can engage. I never thought that I don't remember the exact words she said, but ultimately giving herself permission that that's okay, that that's not something she shouldn't do for herself, because she should just jump right back into her family life from work and not take a moment and a breath to herself. Ultimately, taking that time for yourself, if you are in do have a household of more than you, then this is what enables you to be a better you with them. So as we begin this new year, consider, what is something that rejuvenates me? What is it that I do when I finish doing that? I am a better worker. I'm a better friend. I'm a better partner. What is it that I need to do? And incorporate that more regularly. Number 14, become a regular journal writer. Everyone's style of how they journal will be unique to them. But a lot of writing down is cathartic, and it's not about all complaining. In fact, Jansen argues, and I completely support this as well, write about what you love, what went well, what made you smile, what made you happy. Now, in that moment, it will feel good to write it, but then you may look back in a really difficult time. Maybe it's 3 months down the road. Maybe it's a year from now. Maybe it's 5 years from now. And you'll read that and you'll say, that's what I was doing. And it did make me feel good. And it reminds you and it teaches you maybe what you've been leaving out. Hopefully we never get to that point. But the journal is concrete evidence of who we were, what we were feeling. And sometimes it's temporary. We just need to get it on paper, good or bad. But whatever or however you do it, it is a good and healthy practice. Number 15, practice regular meditation. As talked about before here on the podcast and in my recent book, meditation is a powerful skill, and it is a skill we can all learn it. Now, it's often one that is misunderstood to those who have yet to understand what it truly is. First of all, and I have to admit, I used to be one of those who misunderstood what meditation was. I used to errantly believe that I had to stop my mind from thinking, not having any thoughts at all. That was impossible. And I've heard people say that even recently. Oh, I can't meditate. To stop my mind, I can't do that. This is the thing. It's not about stopping your mind. Meditation is the ability to, quote, observe your thoughts. So you're still letting yourself think, breathing them in, allowing them to happen without judging, believing, arguing, or even interacting with them. They're happening. In those moments, you're able to basically step outside of yourself in a way and be an outsider and just let those thoughts go. And at the same time, that's where the concentration and the ability to master your mind begins to happen. With regular practice, Jansen states, you learn to interrupt conditioned behavior, the habitual reactivity to our thoughts. Observing our thoughts allows us to interrupt this process. So a lot of these different things we've been talking about really work together. When we become better meditators, we become more in control of our mind. When we become more in control of our mind, we're able to observe the emotions and understand why we're feeling them. When we become able to observe our emotions, we learn to respond rather than react. So number 15 is practice regular meditation. All right, I have 16 more ways to practice true self-care, and I'll be right back to share them with you. The sponsor of today's episode is LaCroix. LaCroix sparkling water is a healthy for you and naturally delicious effervescent beverage. Enjoy LaCroix sparkling water, a calorie, sweetener, and sodium innocent beverage with nothing artificial. LaCroix's 24 flavors, including newly introduced key lime, are confirmed to be derived from natural sources with natural fruit essences. With its distinctive packaging and a robust aroma, LaCroix, the innocent alternative for health-conscious consumers, choose from 14 LaCroix flavors. Tangerine, mango, apricot, passion fruit, peach pear, coconut, lemon, lime, berry, cran raspberry, orange, and grapefruit. The LaCroix family also includes 6 LaCroix Curate flavors, pineapple strawberry, appleberry, cherry lime, kiwi watermelon, blackberry cucumber, and cantaloupe pink grapefruit. For more information, join the LaCroix community on social media at LaCroix Water or check them out at www.lacroixwater.com. LaCroix Sparkling Water, a healthier alternative for you and your lifestyle. As we get back to this list of what true self-care is and how to bring it into our lives and optimize our well-being, number 16 is a simple one, and it's one that I have just started to do something a little bit different with in my own life, but it's simply stay hydrated. Now, something that I've decided to try to do as I go into this new year, because I want to make sure I am drinking the 64 ounces that is recommended of water, is to simply put a reminder on my phone. I don't have a lot of notifications on my phone anymore. In fact, that was something that I started to do last year, and it's been a mind saver, but one reminder that I am going to have this year is 4 different times a day, at least for the first couple weeks until it becomes habituated, is to remind myself to drink 16 ounces of water. Now, 16 ounces of water is simply 2 cups. And if I haven't drank those 2 cups of water by the time that reminder goes off, I will have my Hydro Flask with me, which is usually always with me, whether I'm at work or home or walking the dogs, and I will down 2 cups of water. Now, again, this is not wishful thinking, but it's definitely positive planning. And I'm sure there'll be days that I'm not successful, but I know I'll be far more successful by putting this into play. And it cleanses your mind. It hydrates your body so that you're not constantly wanting to eat, because often if we're really hungry, what we're really wanting is more water. And it flushes your system of the toxins that it needs, especially when you wake up in the morning. I like to always bookend my days when I wake up to have my water at my bedside table in a very nice goblet next to my bed. So I have that when I wake up, and I also bring that to bed at night. And then throughout the day, I have 3 other instances where I'm making sure that I drink 16 ounces of water. So each of us will figure out our own system, but drinking that water will make a big difference. And it's such a simple thing to do. Number 17, improve time management. Instead of simply rearranging what you do, there's still only 24 hours in the day. We need to eliminate some things. And I am doing that as well. I'm looking at my schedule and saying, okay, on these particular days when I'm teaching as well as writing, this will be my day where I don't get to walk the dogs on that long walk that I like going on. We'll just have to do a mini walk because I do have to come home and I want to write a quality post and I also want to have a nice dinner. And so I'm trying to be very thoughtful about my priorities and making sure that as long as within the week, I'm still getting the exercise I want, I'm being more thoughtful about my time management. So that's number 17, and each of us will be looking at that and doing something different. But I think instead of just rearranging, to consider what can I let go of because of my priorities, what is a priority and what no longer is, and those things shift. Number 18, enjoy regular deep nights of sleep. I think that one's simply stated. We've talked about this a lot on the blog and the podcast. I'll provide links on the show notes if you want to dive deeper into how to cultivate a night's sleep that is restorative and enjoyable. 19, cultivate an environment, whether it's at work, home, your personal life, that is supportive, optimistic, and respectful. So this is where the editing happens. This is where self-care takes place with regards to saying no, being observant of what fills you up, what drains you, what you can let go of, what you sometimes are going to have to tolerate, but maybe because it's at work, you maneuver a little differently. But be thoughtful about who and what is in your environment that brings you calm, brings you peace, makes you feel respected and supportive. Number 20, enjoy eating well and with the seasons. I'm going to simply provide a link to the Simply Luxurious Kitchen because that is what that whole vodcast and my cooking show is all about. Seasonal fare to elevate the everyday meal. We have already gone through one of our seasons and I cannot wait for next season, but that whole concept, it's not about depriving ourselves as we go into this new year if we're trying to eat healthier. It's about eating well as a habit every single day. We can enjoy chocolate. We can enjoy cheese. It's about moderation, but it's also about what kind of food we bring into our life and bringing in those vegetables, bringing in the fruit, and knowing how to season well to elevate the flavor so that our palates and our bodies are getting what they need and are satiated. All right. Number 21, let go of what you cannot control. I've written multiple posts about letting go, and I'll provide links to each of those on the show notes. 22 is play a lot. I should say play regularly. In other words, exercise. But change, if exercise is not something you enjoy doing, change how it's understood in your mind. Play, make it something fun. If you don't like going to the gym, stop paying for that gym membership and figure out something you do enjoy that you maybe don't realize is exercise. For me, I know I'm fortunate, but I like to just walk. I also right now love to go ski. I don't go to the mountain and pay to do the alpine skiing. I don't pay for that pass. All I pay is $30 one year for an entire year, $30 for my snow park pass. And I go to all the different cross-country skiing areas in our area. Some of them I can bring my dog, some I can't, but I only have to pay $30 for the whole year. Granted, I have to have skis, and I've had those for years, so that was a one-time investment. But it's something to just examine, what is it that you love or enjoy? And if it's just walking, just walk and find amazingly different and unique places to walk, inside, outside. I know I'm going to use my mom as an example here. But she walks, and I went on a few of her walks with her over the holidays. She just sometimes walks around town, different neighborhoods. Sometimes she walks the golf course. My family is a big golfing family. And so she recently walked the golf course, the snow. Can you imagine how beautiful that was? Golf courses are stunning. So there's all sorts of different ways we can enjoy playing and thus exercising regularly. Simply getting fresh air in your lungs will do wonders for your mind, for just that element of being able to sleep well also. Number 23, set healthy boundaries. Boundaries exhibit self-awareness of what you need to live well, to live productively, and to feel respected and loved. Cultivating healthy boundaries involves being able to say no without apologizing, and doing so in a non-confrontational manner. I've written about the power of boundaries and vulnerability because they're a wonderful marriage for any kind of relationship that is healthy, strong, and loving. And I'll provide a link to that on the show notes. But they're vital for building a life that you love living and building relationships that are strong, loving, and full of mutual respect. Jansen includes this definition or explanation of boundaries in her book. Remember, when you claim your boundaries, you're not defining, attacking, or judging someone as a person. Rather, you are defining a behavior that needs to change for you to feel comfortable. This is the boundary. And the beautiful thing about boundaries, and it's just like practicing any skill, initially it's hard because if they haven't been established, it's going to be a shock to some people. But once you've established them and you've kept consistent and you follow through and you've done so respectfully, and those who respect that boundary understand why you're doing it. Even if they don't, it doesn't matter. But the ones that do, it becomes second hat and people just understand it. You don't have to keep explaining it. So initially it's going to be difficult, but it does, I promise it does get easier. Number 24. Express gratitude to those who respect your boundaries. I chose this particular quote for number 24 from Jansen's book because the hardest part is saying, this is my boundary, you've crossed it, or please, if we want to continue this relationship, something has to change. That's the hardest part. The easy part is expressing the gratitude and saying thank you to those who are already doing it or for those who have changed and have honored it. Reward what you want to see more of. It's something that works with so many different relationships. Number 25 is understand what mindfulness is and practice it regularly. I want to begin with a very short quote from the book. Live life from your depths, end quote, not on the surface. In other words, don't be dependent upon outer circumstances for your happiness. In fact, that is what happiness actually is. Hap, H-A-P, is the Old Norse, which is medieval Norwegian language, for the word luck. Instead, find your calm, your contentedness from within. There's another quote I want to share with you, and it has to do with that concept of going below the surface, going within ourselves and finding that contentedness within us. So it's not something that we're searching for and dependent upon that's completely out of our control. This is from Pascal. And he states, there is pleasure in being in a ship beaten about by a storm when we are sure that it will not founder. That is contentedness. And the happiness, the safe passage, while we know it will happen, the how it will happen, the things beyond our control, are the things that will make us even happier when they go well. But we can't control those things. So that's 25. Understand what mindfulness is and practice it. 26, become mindfully curious. Another way to become more present in your everyday is to practice the term coined by Jansen, mindful curiosity. Let your youthful, playful side come forth. Stop editing yourself and experience what is right in front of you and all around you. See the beauty, see the awesomeness, and celebrate it in your own way. In fact, this week's Petit Plaisir exemplifies this act of being mindfully curious perfectly. So I can't wait to share it with you. Number 27 is slow down. When we shift our time management to be more productive, we edit out things that we really don't need anymore, that are not priorities. We find rejuvenation practices that we're going to regularly incorporate into our lives. We're going to help ourselves slow down. And I'm just going to end there. Slow down. Let go of busy. Find some balance. The balance will be continually moving, but try not to fill all the gaps. Number 28, discover the power of the colors that surround you and welcome more natural light into your world. Our senses affect our daily lives on a regular basis. And if we ignore how they can be influenced, we are letting go of an opportunity. Now, we can't all go paint a room tomorrow. We can't all go buy beautiful art. But we can be more conscious of what we do say yes to. We can be more conscious of how it affects us. For me, natural lighting is key. And in fact, a simple example, I mentioned last episode 241, that I moved my office to another room in my house. And just today, with it snowing outside especially, I went from one room that my office used to be in, and then I went to the other room where my office is now, where I'm sitting right now. And there's so much more natural light in here. It's already making a difference. So something as simple as that. And then window coverings, how do you let the light in? Those kind of things. But the colors too. Think about the colors. And her book goes into that a little bit more. And there's all sorts of resources about what color and what mood is created. And you know probably too what colors work and feed you and lift you up and which ones bring you down. And be aware that there is power there. Number 29, speaking of our exposure, our imagery, limit or eliminate exposure to upsetting imagery and events and people. We can't control what someone is going to do, say, or how they're going to behave. We can't control what a director is going to put into a new movie we go to the theater to see, but we can do our homework. We can remember how someone has acted before, and we can say no more. We can say, I don't want to watch that channel. I don't want to read that book. I don't want to go see that kind of a movie anymore because of how it affects me. That is self-care. So that's number 29. Number 30, continue to be a forever learner and become okay with not knowing. The not knowing part is kind of exciting because it means we have so much more to learn. But coming across as I don't know often is perceived as a weakness. And especially when we're trying to convey confidence, whether it's at work or in a relationship or with a friend, trying to be this expert that we know that we are on something, perhaps, when we say we don't know, sometimes people will say, well, wait a second, I thought you were the, you know, expert in this or that, whatever. I think what we have to do is remember that eventually we will show people that the not knowing is a sign of confidence, because we're confident enough to say, I don't know, but I'm going to get back to you. Or I don't know, and I cannot wait to learn more. So it depends on the context and it depends who you're talking to. But not knowing is okay so long as you're continually curious. And that is the key to living well. Remain forever curious. Last but not least, and I end with this one only because we all have scars. We all have been hurt. We all have felt pain in some way or another. And so that's why number 31 is heal what hurts. This is another quote to share with you with regards to how to do it. If you want to change your thinking, heal your heart. End quote. I did an episode about 2 years ago on emotional intelligence. And this involves self-awareness as well. But this idea of understanding why you're feeling the way you're feeling and addressing it and not burying it. And if you need to, speaking to people that can either listen or help you navigate these feelings and why you're hurt. Because maybe you don't understand why you're hurt. Maybe you can't understand why it still is hanging on. Once you, though, address it in a healthy manner, I can attest to this with some relationships, with romantic partners and with family, it will make a huge difference, not only in the relationship going forward, if it's still one you want to be a part of, but how to improve how you move forward with yourself and future relationships and how you communicate effectively to be respectful and to be at peace with how you engage with others. So that you're not hanging on to assumptions, because certain patterns may be repeated by other people, and you make the assumption that because that person did this and the previous person I know that did this and it hurt me, we don't actually get in our own way. So heal what hurts to improve the quality of your thinking and thus the quality of your everyday life. A lot of this inspiration came from the book of self-care by Mary Beth Jansen. Again, the link is on the show notes, thesimplyluxuriouslife.com/podcast242. But there are so many other episodes and blog posts that go deeper into each of these concepts. If you just want to check out the show notes, you sure can find them there. Self-care is mandatory. It's not a luxurious practice. It's not a luxury to do it. When we choose to regularly practice self-care, we are being respectful to ourselves, but also modeling to others that they too are worthy of the same kindness. And when we practice kindness, when we receive kindness and understand what true kindness is, we can better extend it to others without expectation, and we can recognize unkindness and walk away as a means of being respectful to ourselves. As this new year begins, why not strengthen the foundation of what will enable you to be your best self and also enjoy your every days all the more, and thus create a life you love living and sharing with others. Thank you for tuning into this episode. I know it was a long list today, so I'll be quick and get you guys to the petit plaisir. I'll be back in just a second. This week's petit plaisir, as I mentioned at the top of the show, is a French film. And this French film came out about 10 years ago, 2009, and then it became a subtitled version in 2011. And it's on Amazon Prime. So if you have Amazon Prime, you can watch it for free. And I actually came across it simply because of the algorithms of Amazon, and evidently they know me quite well. And it's called Queen to Play. And it stars Sandrine Bonnaire, who has been nominated for what is equivalent to the American Oscars in France. And it also includes Oscar winner Kevin Klein. And it also, I want to include one more name because I have a feeling you recognize this name, Jennifer Beals from Flashdance is in this film. Very small role, but a very influential role in a very positive way. I love her role in this film, but it's very, very short. The movie entirely centers around Helene, and she is a married woman who lives in Corsica, France. And she has a daughter who is in her late teens, and she's in a happy marriage for the most part. On the outside, you think she's very happy. And she's also a maid at a very luxurious hotel in Corsica. And you get to see the landscape of Corsica, France, so this island off the southern, off of southern France. And it's a lovely tale of how a woman seeks out what makes her curious. So back to that mindful curiosity. She seeks out what speaks to her, and she doesn't make sense of it necessarily at first, but she never says no until she figures it out, even if people don't understand it. It is considered a dramedy. There are some dramatic scenes, and Kevin Kline plays a reclusive academic. And this is actually, I found out, his first French role that he's ever played. And he ultimately teaches her how to play chess. She is his cleaning lady. That's how she meets him. And I'll let you guys listen to the trailer. I know it's in French. There is subtitles, again, like I said, at the top of the episode. So don't be deterred if you're not a French speaker or don't even like French films. This one just has a beautiful lesson to listen to yourself, celebrate yourself, and don't be less, because you never know what you're fully capable of. But follow that curiosity. Here we go.
Jouer? Non.
Ne vous réveillez pas, au moins.
Vous voulez bien jouer avec moi?
On a une heure. Vous avez l'intention de la passer debout?
C'était où? On s'inquiétait, on a appelé partout.
Tu me dis que j'ai changé, mais c'est pas moi qui ai changé, maman. C'est toi.
Qu'est-ce qui se passe depuis quelque temps?
Tu sais comment on t'appelle en ville? La folle des échecs.
J'ai pas envie de finir comme toi!
J'essaye de comprendre.
Il n'y a rien à comprendre.
Pourquoi est-ce si important pour vous?
Je sais pas.
Il faut que tu voles de tes propres ailes.
Je viens pour le tournoi.
Et vous êtes classé?
Non. Échec et mat.
I'll provide a link on the show notes at simplyluxuriouslife.com/podcast242. As Variety reviewed it, they said it was riveting, a radically different approach to gender empowerment. But again, a beautiful film in so many ways, and I think you will truly enjoy it. Again, the film is called Queen to Play, and it's actually based on a book by Bertina Hendrick, and it's a novel. It was a novel called The Chess Player. So if you're, I have a link to those, to that book. If you're curious to check it out, there's a French version, a Spanish version. I could not find an English version, but I did find the links to those, other translations. The Chess Player. Again, the English title of the film is Queen to Play. I hope you've enjoyed this week's Petit Plaisir, where each week ideas are shared to make the everyday all the more enjoyable. Tune in at the end of each Monday's podcast, where I'll recommend a book, a film, or a recipe, anything that is a simple pleasure to satiate your sophisticated taste. I want to take a moment very briefly to say thank you to all the different readers and listeners who have been sharing pictures and moments with their new book, whether it's Living the Simply Luxurious Life, my new one, or my first one, Choosing the Simply Luxurious Life, and to those listeners who've been sharing with me those moments when they're listening to the podcast on their walks while they're at home. Thank you for sharing. I really do appreciate it. And it lets others know what you enjoy and why you enjoy the podcast and the books. Have a beautiful first full week of 2019. Thank you for tuning in. Buongiorno. thank you for tuning in to the Simple Sophisticate podcast, where intelligent living is paired with signature style. For more ideas and inspiration throughout the week, visit the blog, thesimplyluxuriouslife.com, or pick up my new book, Living the Simply Luxurious Life, Making Your Everydays Extraordinary and Discovering Your Best Self. You can also pick up my first book, Choosing the Simply Luxurious Life, A Modern Woman's Guide, which is available now in paperback, ebook, and audio versions on Amazon, Audible, and iTunes, or wherever books are sold. To stay caught up on the most recent episodes of the podcast, blog posts, my new cooking show, and receive exclusive news as well as an extra dose of inspiration to jumpstart your weekend, subscribe to the Simply Luxurious Life's weekly newsletter, which arrives in your inbox each Friday to enjoy with a hot cup of tea or a morning cup of coffee. Until next Monday, I'm your host, Shannon Ables. Buongiorno!